God 41 years. Everybody say 41 years. I met him 41 years ago. 41 years, 3 months, and about 6 days. I met the Lord. I got born again. I got born again, washed in the blood. Never got over that. My husband and I were party people. We were the party people. The party started when we got there. And so we didn't have any friends that were Christians when we got born again. Of course, that's a long story, not time today. But we went from, we had a road to Damascus experience. And God's been faithful, faithful, faithful all of these 41 years. Been in full-time ministry. This is our 35th year. We're just starting in full-time ministry. So I don't know very much. The more I learn, the more I find out I don't know. Now, 20 years ago, I knew it all, sister. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if you had a problem in your life, well, honey, let's get in the Word. Well, you've not been in the Word. What's the matter with you? I knew all the answers. But the longer I live, and I am older than I look, the longer I live, the more I know I don't know, but that's okay. And I'm here today to edify you, to build you up. I'm here to tell you today that you really only need one thing, and that is trusting in Jesus. Trust in what He has spoken to us in His Word. We need to know His Word. That's His love letters to us. That's how we learn who he is. And a focal point of my entire ministry has been intimacy with the Father. We need intimacy. And you don't get that even by coming to church. It's important to come to church. But you don't get that intimacy with the Father just coming to the church services. You get it one-on-one. And over the years of my life, when I've opened the Bible, God always speaks to me, and He always confirms to me. When I got the scripture of what we were going to talk about today, I thought, you know, I can talk about that, and I am going to. But then the Lord kind of shifted. I was in my car one day and driving, and the Lord just kind of shifted and dropped this revelation into my heart that He wanted me to share. And I'm going to weave that in with the scripture about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it was confirmed with a song that I'll tell you about in a little bit. If you've got your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. I got one. If you can't read, that's fine. I can. And so don't worry about a thing. But if you do and you want to turn, Laverne already read this, but the foundation scripture for today is Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And He Himself, talking about God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, these are people. It's not that He gives the gift of being a pastor to Gerald and Laverne, but He gave them to you. They are gifts to you. Today, I'm a gift to you, coming as a teacher. Well, Sister Calder, I don't know how you can say that about yourself. Easy! I read it out of the Word. God sent me here today. I have a word for you today. I have a word for you today. So these are people. Now, what are they for? Equipping the saints. Who are the saints? Y'all. You're the saints. You know, we always used to think of the saints as being, you know, in heaven. But we are saints. Paul calls us that all the way through the New Testament. A lot of things I'm going to say, you might think, well, is she? Well, where's she getting that? You'll have to ask me later because I don't have time, Laverne, to go through everything that I would like to say today. It's so good to be here. Sherry, it's so good to see you. Your tape's awesome. That CD is awesome. It's so good to see you. How many were not here in June at the camp meeting? We're not here. Oh, there's a few of you. Well, I've got some things to say. So, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, everybody say this with me. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's us. We're to edify one another. There's a scripture in Romans that I like to read when I go places, and it you don't have to turn there, but in Romans 1, the Apostle Paul said, "For I long to see you, and I have longed for this day." I'll tell you, I've been in June, we planned this, and ever since June, I've looked forward to this time together with you. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "I long to see you, that I might impart some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." And see, that's what it's all about. You know, the people up front, we just have the calling. We're no different from you. We need to be encouraged and we need to be edified. I used to think the pastors just had it all together. Didn't you? The people up front, God protects them and God, you know, takes care of them because He's called them to do this, and so they don't have any problems and they don't ever need any money and they don't ever have any problems with their kids. Not wrong. We're just like you, except that we have been called and anointed for a purpose. And He has called these fivefold ministry gifts for the whole body of Christ. But then even in a fivefold ministry gift, it does not exempt us from the same things that happen to everybody. And so I'm excited to him. And you also might think, because I mean, this sounds, but the Apostle Paul said this, listen, I long to see you. I'm going to impart some spiritual gift. Is Jerry Coulter going to? No. What about the Holy Ghost who resides in me? He knows the Holy Ghost in you. He knows you head to toe. He knows what you need. There's not a woman going to walk out those doors today not having received something unless you block it. And you can. You can block it. But who wants to? You spent time and energy getting here. You got up and got ready this morning. I heard one little girl say, where's she at? I got up at 6:30. You've made effort. You've made effort to be here. So open up your hearts. Open up your hearts. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I know that you have drawn every woman here by the power of your Holy Spirit. You've drawn them here. They thought, oh, Laverne's having a ladies' meeting. Let's go over there. No, the Holy Spirit has drawn. And so, Father, I believe that every heart right now is open to receive what you have for her today. And that this message will not just be another Saturday morning women's meeting, but it's going to be a life-changing, a life-altering word from you, God. We thank and praise and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. So I usually don't go by notes. I make them and then I don't use them. But as I was sitting at my computer typing these up, I felt the anointing then. And I thought there's a few things here I do want to just read. When this scripture says that you and I are going to be encouraged by each other, by our mutual faith, it's a powerful statement. That's very powerful. And we are to encourage one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about, is us being one and having our destiny in Jesus Christ and our identity in Jesus Christ. Now, when we begin to have our identity in the Lord, this abolishes, eliminates this low self-esteem we hear about, the insecurity that women have. I've been ministering to women ever since I got born again. They are insecure until we find. I'll tell you what, I know I might still have some insecurities, but I've come a million miles. And I'm telling you that if we can realize our identity in Jesus Christ, that He loves you, He carries your picture in His wallet, He brags about you all over heaven, He loves you. As if you were his only child, he loves you and cares about you so much that he wants things to work well in your life. He's done it all for us. We spend, after we get born again and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, we have at that moment everything we're ever going to need, but we don't know about it. That's why we need church. That's why we need the Bible. We spend the rest of our lives finding out what we have in God. Finding out what we have. And the resources and the, it's limitless. There's no limits with God. You are the only one that can put a limit on God. You're the only one. He is limitless. He is jumping up and down to bless you. And you are already blessed. The Bible says we have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing, every blessing, everything. We've already been blessed with it. But you might, well, Sister Calder, well, if I've been blessed with it, I don't know where it's at because I sure ain't walking in it. Well, you either don't know or you don't believe. True Bible faith never fails, people. Real Bible faith never fails. Now, we pity, pat around, get our toes wet in the water, and we don't. No, I'm talking about Bible faith. I'm talking about believing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm so excited. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. He's given us everything. We don't need anything else. We just have to discover what we've already been given. And this is what the fivefold ministry gifts are for. These gifts I mentioned, these people, these are people. These are people. Pastors are people. The apostle, the prophet, they're people that God sends to you. So he knew that every person, God knew that every person who got saved, now you're going to identify with this big time, would not read the word and find out for themselves what they have in God. And that they would not be completely victorious on their own. Therefore, he appointed and called certain individuals to reveal his love and reveal his ways to mankind. Simultaneously, every man, woman, and child has been given the measure of faith. Equally, we've all been given the measure of faith. That's what the Bible says. Like I said, I'm not going to look all these up. If you don't believe me, you can ask me later, and we'll sit down with the Bible. So then, why then, here's a question, do certain men and women, wait a minute, I missed a line. It has been said, and I learned this years ago, that every person has the same muscles. Remember, I just now told you, y'all have the same faith. You've got the same amount of faith. Well, everybody has the same amount of muscles. And so then, why then do certain men and women have monster muscles? You know, like Arnold. What's his name? It's because they exercise them. They exercise them. So it may seem that someone has more faith than another person. But it's the person who exercises her faith that develops. Amen. Develops and reaches potential, fulfills destiny, answers the call, and then goes on, goes forward. The fivefold ministry gifts are people that God gives to equip the body of Christ, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, work of the ministry. Everybody say that one. Do you know that ministry, one of the meanings for it is work? People think, oh, they don't work, they're in the ministry. They're in the ministry, they don't work. Listen, you don't know what work is until you've been in the ministry a while. And so we are to equip. The fivefold ministry giftings are to equip. Now this word equip from the Strong's Concordance, it's number 2677 and it's pronounced Catartismos. That's as close as I'm going to try. And this is what it means. This is what the fivefold ministry giftings are for. This is what your pastor is for. This is what the apostle is for. This is what the prophet and teacher is to make fit, prepare, to train, to perfect, and make fully qualified for service. That's what we're called to do. Now, what we have to have is some cooperation. You know what I mean? You got to have cooperation. We might know just what you need, but if you won't come to us or if you won't do it, then what can we do? So you're to be fit. And you know, and every heart in here, the heart of every woman desires, because God put it in there, to do something for God. Thank you for that. Thunderous. We want to, don't we? We want to. We have a desire to. And God will use anybody. How many have seen this to be true? And you wonder, what? you're using them? Yeah, oh, yeah. All you got to do is step up to the plate. Bat in hand. He will throw you the ball. As leaders, we seek God continually how to make you fit for service and how to equip you so that you can do the work of the ministry. It's not the pastor's job to have the lambs. Thank you. The shepherd, which is another name for pastor, feeds the lambs. We feed the sheep. We feed the sheep. We spend time, hours, in the Word. We seek the Word. We pray. We seek God on what to bring to you today. How many mothers have prepared a meal? I mean, you worked hard. You started a couple days beforehand. And you're baking bread and you're getting your meal ready. And it's hard work. And you're preparing your meal. And you make the table just right. And you get the right centerpiece. You're having your family in, maybe a special guest. And you get all that ready. And then they don't come. I'm sure we've all had that happen. Now, how does that make you feel? I think I better quit right there on that one. We work hard. The shepherd protects the sheep. He goes to God about them, Hebrews 13. The pastor goes to God about you. The Bible says it's not for anyone's benefit that we would have to go with it, not a good report. And I am going to stop right there. So the people in the church are supposed to bring in the new people. The people in the church, we are equipping you to go visit the sick. It's not the pastor's job to go visit the sick. It's not his job to go to the hospital. And yet we run to the hospitals. And we go and we see people and we do all this. And that's fine. I do it because I want to. I long to do it, but I shouldn't feel like I have to. There should be someone willing to go see these people. Go to the hospital. Go to the hurting people in the church. Pray with them. Help them. Work the ministry. Work the ministry. Honoring your leadership brings great blessing to you. Honoring your leadership brings great blessing to you when you honor your leadership. And I saw that the last time I was here. I was so blessed to see Gerald and Laverne so blessed. That was an incredible, that made an impact on me that I may talk about tomorrow when Clifton and I are up front. Okay, I'm going to shift gears now. And my confirmation was the song, as Ricardo began to sing, It Is Well. I'm going to talk about something today. This is about encouraging one another. This is about fivefold ministry leadership. I was in my car by myself. And someone had given me a CD by a man from Ireland. I don't think I'll mention his name, but he writes songs and does these songs. And when he first started singing this one song, I thought, I don't like that song. It had some negativity in it, I thought. That's how God will do you. You'll criticize something, and then he'll swoosh in with something that just blows you out of the water. Well, then the chorus came. And my car filled up with the Holy Ghost. And this is what the chorus was. All is well with my soul. He is God in control. I know not all his plans, but I know I'm in his hands. Can we all sing that? All is well with my soul. He is God in control. I know not all his plans, but I know I'm in his hands. So I had been, my husband and I had been thinking and talking about what we would do concerning the 1 year anniversary of our sons going to heaven. And some of you may not know this, but 11 months ago today, and it was on a Saturday, my son had a tractor accident, and he was killed instantly, and he was 41, and had 4 sons, and he was our firstborn son, and the absolute joy of our lives as he grew up. And so we thought, you know, what are we going to do on this day? And it was painful and it was confusing. We didn't want to really be there because it happened in Indiana. We live in Missouri. I wanted to go back to Indiana and, you know, get the stone ordered, and because we haven't done anything like that. And even getting control of his ashes was a very involved and dysfunctional situation, but I have them now, and so I wanted to do something about that. Well, my husband, no, he couldn't go there. Well, we didn't want to be in Missouri. We didn't want to be anywhere. We didn't want to be anywhere. You understand what I mean? And I did not realize that the 1 year anniversary would be such a big deal. I mean, I've learned so much. But as I was in the car that day, all is well, I began to, and God directed me to 2 Kings 4, and about the Shunammite woman when she said, "It is well." God began to really minister to me, "It is well. All is well. All is well." See, in the spirit, all is well. In the spirit, my son is just having the time of his life. And God gives me glimpses of, and I don't care if you think I'm crazy. That's okay. Leave me alone. Don't bother me, because this gives me peace. But I see my son. Now see, and I've read a lot of books on heaven of people who've been there and come back, and it does happen. I see him just getting the ranch ready. You know, kind of like South Fork, you know, on Dallas. He's getting the ranch ready, and he's going to love it that he knows more than we do when we get there. He's going to have it all worked. He's going to have a special horse for his dad. He was a cowboy. He was a champion cowboy after his going to heaven. There was a huge awards banquet that, of course, he didn't get to go, so we went and received his awards for him, his jacket and his buckle and all the things that he won. And so he's up there, and he's got it all, and we're going to have this big house, and we're all going to live together in it. And he's going to say, "Mom, I'll tell you what, you don't even have to cook. We're going to all eat over in this certain room, and the food's already there, and you don't have to cook, Mom, because I cook." He loved my cooking. Oh, he would just be stuffed whenever I would feed him. Yeah, I'd try to give him more. "Oh, Mom, I'm just, no." And so he's going to love it that I don't have to cook up there or do the dishes. And so we're just going to have the time of our life. And he's there already. He just got there ahead of us. That's all it is. And all is well. All is well. All is well in the spirit. It is well. And I want to talk about this woman here for a little bit. In 2 Kings. In chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, and there was a notable woman. And so this woman, being notable, this word here implies that she was an affluent woman. And of course, as we're going to see, she must have been because of what they did for the man of God. But anyway, a notable woman, and she persuaded, this literally is, she laid hold on him, the Bible says. She laid hold on the man of God and wanted him to eat some food. He was traveling through there, the man of God, Elisha, with his servant Gehazi. I was traveling through, and she wanted to feed the man of God. And so this happened on a regular basis. And one day she looked at her husband. She said, "Now listen, this is a holy man of God. He comes through here all the time. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed in there for him and a table and a chair and a lampstand so that it is that whenever he comes by that he can turn in there. He'll have a place to stay." And so evidently, now the very next verse, he's staying in the room. So she has talked her husband into building him a room. She was a notable woman. She was an affluent woman. She had influence. So it happened one day that he came there and he turned in the upper room, laid down right in the bed that she had provided for him. And then he called to Gehazi's servant one day and he said, "Now this Shunammite woman said, call her." And so she came and he asked Gehazi to ask her what she needed. "What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king? Or should I speak in your behalf to the commander of the army?" And she said, "Listen, I dwell among my own people. I don't need anything. I'm fine. I don't need a thing." And so he said to Gehazi, he said, "Well, then what in the world are we going to do for her? What can we do for this woman? She said she has everything." Gehazi said, "Well, I'll tell you what, her husband's old. She doesn't have any kids, and her husband's old." So he said, "Well, call her." Well, here she came back. She stood in the doorway. You know, this is a 10-tape series. But we don't have time today, do we? She stood in the doorway, and he said, "Now, about this time next year, you're going to embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord. No, man of God. Oh, don't lie to your main..." She couldn't believe it. She could not believe what he was saying. But, now see, again, the man of God spoke. Things were different in the Old Testament. And yet the same, and we have these stories, and I'm going to tie this in just a little bit. But the woman conceived and bore a son, and when the appointed time had come, just a year later, just like Elisha told her, just like he told her, the child came. Now the child grew, and it happened one day that he went out to his father out in the field, out there where the reapers were, and he said, "Oh, my head, my head." And so the father said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother. Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and went out. She laid him on the bed of the man of God and she shut the door. We have to take our disasters to God, leave them there, and shut the door. Now, she went out there, and she told her husband, "Please get me one of the young men, get me a donkey that I may run to the man of God and come back. I'm going to run to the man of God." And he said, "Well, What's the deal? Why are you going to see him today? Because, I mean, it's not the Sabbath. It's not the new moon. And she said, what did she say? It is well. Other translations say, all is well. Another translation says, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Her son was dead, and yet she said, everything's going to be all right. So she got that donkey saddled, and she said to the servant, drive and go forward. Come on. Everybody say, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Don't sit outside the door that you shut and moan and groan and carry on. Can anybody shout? Don't sit there at that door. You get up and you go forward. You go forward. That's why I'm alive today. I'm breathing today because I just go forward. I just trust God and go forward. Sister Cole, how do you survive all these things? You know, my husband's brother was killed in a fire in our house. Our pets burned up. I've got a grandson in prison for heroin. And they say, how do you go? How do you keep going? And what I just said is the tip of the iceberg. Well, yes. Lost everything in 2004 in a fire. Lost everything. Had not even one dime's worth of insurance. We didn't care. We were all alive and it didn't matter. We moved forward. We didn't sit in those ashes. Out of the ashes we rose up. You know, that song's talking about sackcloth and ashes. That song's talking about mourning. We got to rise out of the ashes. I have risen, people. I rose up out of the ashes. Now, listen, you don't see me at home. I haven't quit crying. I never will. I miss my boy. I miss his phone calls and his text messages. He was funny. He was like his dad. Funny, saw humor in things that other people wouldn't, probably, but that's okay. We would laugh, and oh, he just was just a joy, lit up any room. 1,500 people came to the visitation, and they had to turn people away, turn them away, turn them away. And then at the funeral, jam-packed standing room, only turned people away because they loved my son. He was a cowboy. He'd been a construction worker. He loved people. He loved people. 50 people saved at his memorial service. Glory to God. Glory to the Father. The Father gets glory out of anything and everything that happens in our life. If we'll let him, if we'll let him. You got to be open to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you all the time. All the time he's speaking. You know, there's what radio waves and television waves. If you tune in the right button, you're going to hear what's coming off of those waves. If you never turn anything on, those waves just keep on going by, and you're missing. You're missing something. So she went on away. She said, now I'm telling you, drive, go forward. Do not slacken. Do not slacken. Don't be a slacker. Don't you do anything till I tell you, she said. And so she departed. She went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. And so it was when the man of God saw her afar off. Listen, God will see you afar off. You might think you're far off. No, he sees you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's going to meet you wherever he can meet you. He saw her far off, and he said to Gehazi, well, look, it's that Shunammite woman. Looky there. That Shunammite woman's coming. Go out there and meet her and find out what's the matter. And so he did. He said, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she said, she said, it is well. It took me a while My son being killed was the ultimate. And it took me a few months to learn that when people ask me how I am, to say, I'm just fine. Because one day I was in an office and I was having a really bad day and I'd been crying. And she said, "What's the matter?" And I thought, "Huh? What's the matter?" Now, this woman of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, following Jesus, letting the love of God just flow out of me to everybody, I said, "My son is dead. What do you think?" Well, that was a wake-up call. But I can't do that. And she said, oh, I forgot. And then I remembered, people move on. Who's lost a child besides anybody? Other people move on. You know, my thinking, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd think, why is the sun shining today? How can cars be going by? My house. How can people be going to work and acting like nothing happened? Other people move on. They just move on. They just do. That's just life and that's just normal. So I had to, what? No. So I had to get a grip. See, men and women of God who've been in the ministry for years have to get a grip. And so now I'm fine. I'm doing good. It is well. It is well. So that's what she said. It is well. She told him that. I'm talking about Bible faith here. I'm talking about faith. And so, and then she came to the man of God at the hill, and she caught him by the feet. And Gehazi was trying to get her away, and the man of God said, "Leave her alone." Said, "She's in deep distress." He said, "The Lord's not told me what's wrong with her, but she's in deep distress." So she said, "See, I was kind of like her. She was like me." She said, "Did I ask you to give me a son? Did I ask you to do that? Now, didn't I tell you just don't deceive me?" She didn't tell him the son was dead. But that's what he knew. He perceived it. And he said to Gehazi, "Listen, get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. Be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. But lay my staff on the face of the child." Now, he gave him the instructions that we need, is that when we're on our way to our miracle, sometimes we cannot talk to people about it. Number one, they won't believe you. Number two, they might even say, "You're going to do that? You, what? Are you sure God said it?" You know, people will talk you out of your miracle. People will talk you out of what God has spoken to your heart, and don't ever let that happen. When God has given you a word, don't come off of it. Well, he was going to send Gehazi with his staff. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now over in, you don't have to turn there, but in over two chapters back, now she did not know this. She had no way of knowing this. But when Elisha wanted Elijah's mantle and anointing, do you know what he said to Elijah? He said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And Elijah said, "No, you go on, you go on." And he said it again. Two times he said that. So he knew how much business he meant. He knew when he said that to Elijah, because he wanted that anointing. And he wanted it more than the breath in his body. And I'm telling you this morning that if you will want something more than the breath in your body, and it's God's will, and you find it in the Bible, and you know in your heart, don't let go come hell or high water. No matter what. Listen, we face circumstances, people. We have circumstances all around us. In every situation, in our emotional realm, in relationships, in our physical bodies, in our finances. We have disasters happening. But I'm going to tell you that if you'll stay true and trust God. Listen, He's able. He's able. He is able to take care of your situation. God is able. You're not able. It's out of your control. I'm going to tell you something. We have no control. If we do have control, then control it. Do what you can do. But when you can't do anything, when it's beyond your control, we've got a God. Oh, hallelujah, we have a God. He don't call himself God for nothing. We've got a God. You know, Clifton went to India. They have these gods over there, and they trust him to do things. They don't do a thing, not a thing. But we have a God who can do anything, has already done everything, loves us more than we can even comprehend. We can't comprehend it in our minds. We get glimpses in our spirit. And I always say it like this. It's like an electric fence. How many's ever touched one? You go along, you forget. We get glimpses like that where I don't think we could live in our physical bodies and have a full revelation of the love of God and the will of God and still walk on the earth. We'd be like the ones that went on. We still have flesh. But we get glimpses, and one glimpse is enough to last you 40 years. Just one word from God can last you the rest of your life. Well, Sister Colton, how long do I have to keep on believing this? You just got to keep on. Keep on keeping on. Never give up. Keep on keeping on. Never give up. Come on, girls. Keep on keeping on. Never give up. You know, Winston Churchill said, never, 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 never give up. I could have given up. You could have given up. I wanted to stay home and pull the covers over my head. I didn't want to go out my door. But we have a God. Without a God, we can't do it. With a God, we can do anything. We can do anything. Well, he had said these words. He had said to Elijah, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And he was not going to leave Elijah because he wanted that anointing. He wanted double the miracles. How many know this? I'm sure Gerald Laverne's taught you this. He wanted double the miracles. And so he got to where he had done, lacked one, and died. Well, most people, but it's over. It's over. But then, now I haven't read this for a long time, but didn't they throw his bones in? His bones raised somebody from the dead. Double miracles. That made the double. That made the number double. So I'm telling you, even if you die believing, that's okay. Maybe your bones will cause some miracle to happen. So he knew when she said that, he thought, it's over. I got to go. My staff ain't getting it. Sending Gehazi over there with my staff, that ain't going to get it. And we do that. We try to send little prayers along that, you know, aren't going to work. We got to pray in the name of Jesus in faith believing. In faith believing. It's not that hard. It doesn't take great faith. It just takes a little bit. That's why Jesus said, listen, faith is a grain of mustard seed. It just takes a little bit of faith. Just a little bit. If you can just believe a little bit, you can get a miracle. So he thought, well, I'm going to have to go because I said that one time and I wasn't giving up. She has said this and she ain't giving up. So now Gehazi went on ahead of him. He went on. He went on anyway because his master told him to. He laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. So he went back and he said, well, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying on his bed. He went in, he shut the door, and he prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. There's an hour right there. And he went up, and he laid on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned, walked back forth into the house, and went up again. He returned and walked back and forth in the house. Because he did, the flesh became warm, but the child didn't breathe. So he's walking back and forth. What do you think he's doing? Walking. How many's walked back and forth? How many's wore the carpet out? Walking back and forth. He's walking back and forth. Went back in. Stretched himself out again. See, we pray, and we think we've done all we can do. I've just done all I can do, Lord. I can't do nothing else, Lord. I've done all I can do, and you can see nothing's happening. And then we just go have coffee with somebody and whine to them. You got to go back again. You can't quit. Go back again. Go do the same. You know what? I find things by looking in the exact same place that I just looked. I'm not going to ask a show of hands, but you're nodding your heads. You know what I mean. I'm looking for something. I can't find it. So, Lord, I've got to find this, Lord. I mean, credit cards, whole thing, bank card. Looking the same place over and over. I just keep going back and looking in the same place because I ain't been no place else. And I find it every time. Always find what I need. God always answers my prayer. So, when it began, stretched. Well, the child sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. So then he called Gehazi and said, well, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her. And when she came in, he said, now this is the most vital part of my entire message today. If you don't hear anything else I've said today, I want you to get this. He said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground in worship. She was praising the Lord. Before she went and picked up her little boy, she thanked the Lord. She thanked the Lord. She worshiped the Lord. Worship will bring floods of God's will into your life. Worship will cause the Spirit to wash over you. In the midst of trials and tribulations, see, you don't wait till you get your answer. She prayed this whole time. I'm talking now about New Testament Christians. I'm talking now that we have got the Holy Spirit. I'm talking now that, and Paul taught it all the way through, and be ye thankful. He'd be giving this big long spiel and then at the end, and be ye thankful. If we would be thankful for what we have, listen, we have got so much. We are so blessed. We look at what you have instead of your problem and your disaster and your lack and what you feel you don't have. Look at what you do have. I actually took a friend of mine to a grief counseling group meeting. I never did believe in those. I tell you, God just teaches you every day, doesn't he? I never did believe in those things. I thought, you know, I can just pray to God for myself. I don't need that. But I thought my friend needed it. I'd been invited to go. Invited to go. I said, no, I don't need that. You know, So I took her. Well, every woman in that circle, that night had lost her husband. They had all lost their husbands. You know, and I didn't have much to say that night. But when I got home, I put my arms around my husband. And I was reminded of how much I have and how blessed I am. And I have three other children. And I have grandchildren. Now, not that anybody ever takes, and don't ever say this to somebody. Don't ever say, well, you've got two more sons, don't you? Don't you have two more sons? Don't ever do that. You know, but people don't know. People want to help. And I used to say the dumbest things to people. I didn't think they were dumb at the time. You know, you want to minister, you want to try to help. You want to offer what comfort that you can. But the person that has lost a child, I don't care if you have 10 more. You know, it doesn't help to have more. But my point is, and I have seen this over the years, I've seen parents grieve over one child's death to the point that their other children felt like, what are we, chopped liver? And so, worshiping, though, this woman, before she ever went in and picked up her live baby, before she went and picked him up, she fell at the man of God's feet and she worshiped and she was thankful. And so, today I'm telling you that if we will just be thankful, I want to look at my notes before I officially close because I may have something just totally anointed on here that I don't want to leave out. Okay, I did want to close with this teaching that I just did on the Shunammite woman is the kind of example that you have in your pastors. Your pastors are this kind of people. They have stood through adverse circumstances, Pastor Jerry's health issues, Laverne's health, the near death of their daughter when she was 16, many heartbreaking church family issues, financial issues, lack. They stood anyway. They stood and served. They stood and served. Their example is an equipping of the saints. You know, Clifton and I don't know if we missed a service. We continued. Everybody said, take off, go. Isaiah 58 talks about that when we pour out of ourselves, our healing comes. We get too focused on ourselves and what our problems are. And as a witness to you today, as we minister out, you might say, I have nothing. Oh, yes, you do. You have something for someone. And as you minister that out, it brings healing to yourself. It brings healing. You don't do it for that, but it just happens as you minister forth. So their example is an equipping of the saints. Their example before you is training. And they would say the same thing that we say. This is what we say, and this is what we say when we go through these things. We say, what else would we do? It's like when the 70 left Jesus and the 12 were standing there. Jesus didn't go after those 70. Did you ever notice that? They left. They were offended. They left. And so Jesus didn't turn to the 12 and say, oh, go find out what offended them and let's pat them. He turned to the 12. Well, are you going too? That's what he did. He turned to the 12 that were left. He said, you going to leave me? And wasn't it Peter? He goes, where would we go? Where would we go? Who else has the word of life? Who else has life? Where would we go? And thinking on continuing is, what else would we do in these adverse circumstances? You just keep going. You just keep right on going. See, there's people that would tell Jerry, well, you just need to go home and go to bed. Yeah, you need to go to bed. You need to be in the hospital. And so what I'm telling you here today is that there is great reward for the saint who stands and keeps on believing. When every cell in your body screams, quit! Why don't you just quit? And that goes along with your song, sister. That first song you did, what was it, Pray Anyway? Yeah. And yours, I love that. Do it anyway. You're losing everything you got. Well, just, you know, do it anyway. Just keep going and doing it anyway. Because I can promise you God will show up. I can make promises based on what He has promised. He promises He will never leave you nor forsake you. He promises He will answer your prayers. He's going to come through for you. I don't care what it looks like. I do not care what it looks like. He will come through with something you've never even thought about. You, right here in the pink. He's going to come through for something for you that you've never even thought of, because you've thought about all the naturals. Now, I don't know what realm this is. It may be your physical. It may be something else. But you've thought and you've contemplated and you've done. God has another idea. He's got something you've never even thought about. It's going to come through for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You too. You too. He's thinking about something that you haven't thought about. You've not even thought about it. Listen, I was in my car one day and I randomly put a tape in. Am I going too long? I randomly put this tape in, this CD. I'm old school. My younger ones are trying to. Sister Jerry, it's CD. Anyway, it was a CD. And, me and my husband had some big problems. This was a few years ago. We had a major problem. And I thought, what are we going to do? I didn't see any way out. I saw no way out of this. It was financial. I saw no way out of it. Rock and hard place. So I just randomly stuck this CD in there. It didn't even have a title. It was number 4 on a set of tapes for T.D. Jakes. And called Reposition Yourself. Everybody ought to get that set. Reposition Yourself. If that ain't working, reposition yourself. Go somewhere else. Do something else. Well, I stuck that tape in there. And he was talking about something, and I'm not going to go into it, but it totally delivered us. I went home. I did what he said. Here's something else. When the man of God tells you something to do, especially if you ask for advice, if you go and you ask for advice, do what they tell you. They're hearing from God. I rarely ask for advice. Not that I think I know it all. It's not that. I don't know what maybe it is. I don't know what it is, but I rarely ask for advice. But when I do, sister, when I go to somebody and I said, what should I do? What would you do? What do you think God? When they give me advice, I take it. I do it. I follow through. And that CD laid it all out on what to do. And we were totally delivered. Yeah, because God had an idea about something we had that we didn't realize we had. We had the money, we didn't know it. Do you know that if somebody puts $1 million in your bank account and you never find out about it, you'll never know it and you'll never use it? This is worth more than $1 million. This is worth more than $1 million. There are secrets in here placed there for you. There are answers in this book put there for you. And the only way, and Pastor Jerry, you know, praise God. Pastor Laverne, praise God. They deliver word to you all the time. But if it's not hitting what you need, which it mostly will, but you can get into the Word of God, and I guarantee, because He guarantees. You know, I can't guarantee anything. I'm just a little girl from Paoli, Indiana. 3,500 people, never thought I'd get out of town. Been around the world. Why? I believed God. I moved past fear. We got to move past fear. Fear will attack you at every turn. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because what about this and what about that? You move through it. You just keep going anyway. You do it anyway. You just go anyway. I don't care how scared you are. God's on the other side of that fear. This is better than I thought it was going to be. Every cell in your body is saying quit. And we even had members of our family say to Clifton and I last October, why don't you guys just quit? You could just quit. Why don't you just quit? Because that's what the devil wants you to do. That's what the enemy wanted us to do. And even if there was no devil, even if there wasn't a devil, which there is, the spirit of Antichrist that works against you, but even if there wasn't, the world's enough to make you want to shut down. Just shut it down. But God, who is rich in mercy, delivers you. So the woman didn't give up. She did not murmur or speak negativity. She knew where her help was. And that's the main problem with Christians today. They go everywhere but where they should go. There is no help anywhere but in God. And when our son was first killed, I did have some questions. I thought, where were his angels? He'd had them so many times before. He had escaped truck accidents. He totaled 2 trucks in less than 30 days, totaled them, rolled them, walked out without a scratch. He's had horse accidents, broken his shoulders, had his shoulders ripped out, broke a leg, should have been killed, wasn't killed, got bitten by a deadly tick. It's not the Rocky Mountain fever or the Lyme's disease. It was a different, it was a rare kind of tick that he came within breaths of death and was miraculously healed. Had double pneumonia 1 month before the accident, almost died, because he don't go to the hospital. He doesn't seek out medical help. Someone has to haul him there. And so he had double pneumonia, and the doctors didn't know if he was going to be all right, and he was a month before. And then a tractor rolls over and kills him. You know, there's got to be, you know, you question that. That I have a question about that. Does anybody blame me? I got a question. I'm going to find out. But beyond the questions, yes, we have questions. But beyond the questions, my husband and I made a decision. We made a deliberate decision to trust God. No, we don't understand. We trust God. He is in God's hands, always was, is now. We trust God. Who knows? You know, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. This is so much bigger than our minds can begin to comprehend. But God knows all from the end, from the beginning from the end. He knows everything. He knows what is best for the child of God. And a few years ago, I would have had a whole different philosophy about this. But when things happen to you that you have to deal with and you have to seek out answers for yourself, you begin to see. But God's been good. God has been overwhelmingly good to us through this situation and through every situation. And He will be overwhelmingly good to you in your situations. I want you to bow your head for just a minute. I want us to be quiet for just a minute. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to call you forward. Before I stop this last paragraph that I had, I want to say it. In the face of these natural circumstances that the woman had, and in the face of your circumstances, God is no respecter of persons. He will do the same for you. But our confession needs to be, all is well. In the spirit, all is well. God knew about today. He knew about your difficulty today. Your financial lack is not a surprise to God. Neither is your marriage situation. Neither is your health issue. Nothing in your life is a surprise to Him, and there is nothing in your life that He does not care about and know about. Father, we thank You. We worship You, God. From our heart of hearts, God, we cry out, thank You for for your son Jesus, who has made all this possible. He came to the earth and he was crucified for us, took all of our sin upon himself, shed his blood for us that we can be pure and holy and whiter than snow. And then he was resurrected. He was put in the tomb and resurrected and sent the person of the Holy Spirit to indwell every believer and to give us everything we need to overcome in this life. And we are so thankful for that, God, that we don't have words, and that's why we have to speak in tongues sometimes. Oh, his love. I just saw a picture of God's love rolling in like oil in clouds and just enveloping each one of you and each one of your hearts with love. And Father, I ask that they would feel a tangible presence of your love and knowing your love for us makes us know that we don't have to be insecure about anything, that we have everything we need in you, and that you are well aware of our situations and circumstances, and that you are working in areas we don't see. You are maneuvering people. And I really see this in the Spirit, that some of you have cried out to God and you're tired and you think your prayers aren't being heard. But God is showing me right now that there are things that have to come into place. And it's like changing people's minds. And it's about, you know, working with people. I mean, God has to work with us because he has made us, he has sovereignly made us with our own wills. We can decide to do whatever we want to do. But his Spirit can come in and woo people, and he can cause circumstances to line up to where certain decisions will have to be made. And it's not manipulation, it's just that's the way he works for his children, causes things to come to pass that you need in your life. And I can see that in the Spirit, that he is busy as if you were his only child. He is getting things ready to for your prayer to be answered. Thank you, God. We honor you and give you all the glory today in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Thank you, God. I'd like y'all to stand up. And I'm up here to pray for you. I know a lot of people got ministered to just then and throughout the message, but sometimes we need hands laid on us. You know, somebody laid hands on me a while ago. Praise God. Sometimes we need hands laid on us. We need to receive a word from God, from the Spirit of God. And so that's what I'm up here for. So anyone who wants, you know, you may have received everything you need during the message, and that's fine. But if you have something that you want prayer for, now's the time. Just come on up, and I'll be glad to. See, I'm anointed right now to do this, so don't miss it. I had a friend one time that said, now, if you don't come now, don't come to me later. All right, he wasn't my friend. My friend was telling me about it. But my friend said, he tells people, if you're too afraid to come now or too embarrassed or whatever, I'm going to be here. You know, I'm here till Monday. You can come to me anytime. If you don't want to come right now because you're scared or you know, you're not sure or whatever, that's okay. It's okay. I'm anointed all the time. But this is a special hour right now. This is a special time right now. So it'd be good for you to come now. But you can come any time to me while I'm here. Thank you, God. What you need, Sissy? Thank you, Swat. Stealing. Mm. Well, Father, you show us things for a purpose. And right now we pray for this person that Jenny's brought forward. We pray for him, God, that your Holy Spirit would put a stop to this in the name of Jesus. And that if she's to be used as a tool, Father, that you would open the door and make it very plain to lead and guide. And as she would open her mouth, that your words would be there. We thank and honor you and praise you for your children. I thank you for Jenny. I ask you to bless her, to let your anointing flow through her right now, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And there's some things in your heart. Secret things you've prayed that you haven't told a soul. I hear you say of the Father. He sees you standing before him in a, actually I see a little ruffly dressed like a little girl. He sees you as his child before him, and he loves you so much. And he wants you to know today that he's heard all, that he knows all about this. He knows all about it. It has not left him, and your tears are being seen and bottled up, and there's an answer on the way. Answers on the way in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, we speak your Holy Spirit to flow through this sister. Top of her head, bottom of her feet, flow through. Have you got any kind of physical problem down in here? Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I saw the Spirit of God just going through there like a, I don't know what it is, it's a, like a wand. Moving down through there and healing. Blockage. No, it's going to be unblocked in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, Father. Someone called you an angel to me. Someone talked to me about you and said, oh, she's an angel. Holambo didi I die. Holanda da 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 ha sanda. Ora, strength. I speak strength into this one. Father, in Jesus' name, into her physical body and into her emotions. Strengthen her emotions, Father. Let her know that you've got it all under control. Thank you, God. He sees your trust. God's got such a surprise for you, Nola. God has a surprise. And I, you know, I'm not going to say. I think I know what it is if you want to talk to me later. But you're going to be so, you're going to be happy like you were one time. Think of the happiest time in your life. No, God is saying this to me. Literally think of the happiest time in your life. Happiest time. You're going to have that again. I know you have physical things. Anything else? Yes. I want to tell y'all something. She said she's going blind. I'm going to tell you something. I went to the eye doctor. I went to the eye doctor because I couldn't pass my driver's. I had to redo my driver's license. I went in there. She said, well, how do you? I couldn't see those letters. And so she said, I can't give you a set of driver's license. I said, I have to have driver's license. Long story short, I went to the eye doctor. He said, oh, come back next week. Went back next week. Oh, I'm sending you to a specialist. He said, you're going blind. I said, and I never even, I'll tell you the truth now, I never told a soul. I'm glad you're telling me now. Have you told? They probably don't even know. Now y'all know. And so I never told anybody, but I thought, no, I am not going blind. And so 3 weeks went by before I went to the specialist. They gave me a 60-day extension on my driver's license. So I went to the specialist, and I was in there 3.5 hours. I was in there, and they kept doing all these tests to have me come back, down my eyes, blah, blah, blah. Bottom line, he calls me in there, and he says, well, I don't know what that other doctor was so excited about. He said, I don't see this at all. Well, hallelujah. Well, why aren't y'all shouting? Glory to God. I never even told my husband. I didn't even tell my husband. I thought, I am not telling anybody this. This is horrible. I've never heard such a thing. But I went from there, and I never thought about it anymore. Well, before I went to the special, I told my husband. Now, he knew I was going to the eye doctor. He never once said, well, what'd they say? Never once. Nobody asked me. I told my kids, I'm going to the eye doctor. You know, nobody asked me anything. I thought, okay. Well, we prayed, and I got me a pair of glasses that I can see just right. I can see perfect with my glasses, but I ain't going blind, and neither are you. Neither are you in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Blindness is not a blessing. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak over these eyes, Father, a recreative miracle for you to do whatever needs to be done inside these eyes. We rebuke that spirit of blindness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Healing. Healing in the name of Jesus. Well, you need, sissy. You've already got my heart because you prayed for me.
I've got some scriptures I want to share with you later.
Okay.
That the Lord gave me when we lost our son. Here, I've got three major concerns. One I haven't heard from the Lord on yet. One I have, but I don't know about the timing. And one I'm not even sure if I heard from the Lord. So.
Okay. Well, Father, these three things, and I see them on a table, Lindy. I see them on a table like three pieces of paper. And the one that you've heard from God, he's got it turned over. Now, he's dealing with it. And what he wants you to know is that he's got it all under control. You don't have to worry. He does not want you worrying or fretting about this or spending your energy worrying or thinking about these. He's got them. His hand is on it. And he's on it, and he's hearing you. Ibra da Hashan, Father, I rebuke the spirit of fear, doubt, and unbelief in Jesus' name, and loose your mighty spirit, Father. Peace, comfort, rest in Jesus' name over this precious one. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. And he's pouring oil into your precious heart right now, healing oil into your heart. Thank you, God. You heal the broken heart. He's pouring that in there right now. You're not going to have that anymore. Orahasi tokayama. Hitakayama. Oh, standolo booste. Hula kasiti bahayama hoste. Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Does anyone need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Is anyone not speaking in tongues? Kidia baha shandolo bohoso. And you would like to? It's just so easy. You just ask him to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Evidence is speaking in tongues. Korabaha siti kaya. What you need, Pat? Istande. Oshama. Brandola bohose. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I just loose your spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. Ikambramba asara dahase. Korambo hositi kaya. And you're another one that is worrying. Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke doubt. I rebuke fear, unbelief in the name of Jesus. It has to go. It has to go. And then we just loose that peace of God, the peace of God to wash over Pat. Your peace, Father. Your love and your comfort in the name of Jesus. I see chaos that's going to be straightened out. I can't explain. I just see a lot of chaos. But the Holy Spirit's going to come in there and take care of that. He stando de hese takaya mahosia. Valerie, oh rambohosi, your heart is so before God. He sees your heart and all the desires that you have. The Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. Himbrada da hastarando. Himbro, and you're another one. You're still another one. You're the third one today. That God has another plan than what you're thinking. You're trying to work some things out in the natural, and it's the normal thing to do. We all do that. But God's got an ace up his sleeve. He's going to pull a rabbit out of the hat. And you're going to be amazed, and you're going to be blessed beyond your own comprehension. Rahasi tokoyara, bahastanya rarakia, moshte de behe, istanya. Daughter, don't worry. Oh, why worry about tomorrow? Why worry when things turn out wrong? I don't remember, but it's about praising Jesus. And we don't have much farther to go. In process. That's just the Lord said, in process. In process. There are things that are in process. Hilo bahasai. I speak healing to this body. I speak peace to the mind. I speak, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to give her a word, Father, in her own heart. Let her know your presence in such a mighty way. And even when you get home today, Juanita, when you get home today, I'm talking about today, within the next 24 hours, God's going to do something. Something's going to happen in your home or in your life, and you're going to say, whew, that was God. That was God, and that's going to be your confirmation. You need confirmation. You know, we hear from God, but then nothing happens, and we need confirmation. Today, within 24 hours, there's going to be a confirmation. God's going to do something. You're going to see something, and you're going to know. Glory to God. I've never said that to anybody in my entire life. Ibra dahasa debi, horambo dia sakatanya nananana hiya sandolo bo oshte de kia siyama. Holy okotoro bo hoshokotanda la hasai. Iya lanyana nanana hasaya do bo oshte anda bo hosakayaba. Holy anda da dahasa. You know, God gives us a word or a picture, and we just deliver what we see or what we hear. And we don't know everything. But I see a white house with a white picket fence. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. There's a white picket fence around this white house. And it's like, you know, you can add to this, but it's like a perfect little thing. It's perfect. So.
I've got the interpretation. Well, I saw my spirit was deep down in your heart.
Just
security. Just a levelness and a security and a balance in your life. And when we think of a white house and a white picket fence, we think that's our dream. That's our home. That's the American dream. That's your spiritual dream is to get back to the point in your life that it's security. Just feel it. Feeling the security. You know what? I'm not saying you don't have security. I'm just talking about a sense of belonging, a sense of security, a sense of knowing that I'm receiving what this is what I want, God. This is what I want.
Thank you, Father.
I can't tell you from what direction it's coming from or from whom or what from God. All I know is the Lord said that you keep the vision of that in front of you, of the picket fence, the white picket fence in the house, because he says it's yours. It's yours today.
Amen.
Don't be out looking.
You all can sit down if you want to.
Maybe it's over here, or maybe it's over here. No, that's it. It's here. Okay.
Amen. I receive that. I bear witness to that. Totally. Little dot. Oh, that's right. Woo!
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for being my friend for many years.
Thank you for being my friend.
Just been blessings, and we've had you for our friends in a long time.
Yes.
You and Clifton came into the
many talks.
Blessed us, and we'd sit there and have our talks, and I used to miss that when you moved away from me. Laverne took you away from me. But I do thank you, and I want to thank you for being obedient. You're, of course, everybody knows you and Jerry or Clifton are obedient. But you just are such a blessing. When you
thank
walk
you
in this building, you know, and I can say for everybody in this, and I'm not going to preach, maybe. I've been known to once in a while, but, you know, when you get to seeing you, it's just that boom, that anointing, you know, right over, all over us.
I appreciate
and,
that.
Every word that you have spoken today, I know from the bottom of my heart, it has ministered to me. The word, you stand on the word, you're there, and I just appreciate you for
thank
being
you
obedient.
Thank
and
you so much.
Touching,
I appreciate
and,
that.
I have prayer for my family.
Amen.
And I need healing for my knee, and it's done, it's gone, and I am healed.
Amen.
And I'm not having what I did have, but
amen,
it's going to be done and over with.
Amen.
And I receive it.
Amen. So. Well, you prayed your own prayer. Well, Father, I agree, and everyone in this room, we agree with Dot
amen
right now in
Jesus
your name, Father. We just agree. And I just ask you to bless her to the point that when she goes home, Herb's going to say, whoa,
yeah,
where have you been? And that anointing will flow into their home and into
yes
their family. We lift up their family right now in Jesus' name. And God, we place them in your hands. And we're just going to shut the door on worry,
yes,
and we're going to go forward
yes
and worship you
yes
in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. God bless. Thank you so much. Yes, Miss Leona.
I had her trouble, and plus my niece's sister, I found out she has cancer. She's in her 20s. My husband's not so good.
Well, God, we lift these things up. And, Father, only you. This is out of our control. Every single thing she mentioned is out of our control. Ooh, except that with your husband, you can be Jesus in your home. You can do that. And I really feel like the Lord's going to give you some instruction, Leona. He's going to give you some instruction that's going to help in that area. We rebuke this cancer of this person in the name of Jesus. We curse it at the very root. And Father, let people come along. Send people across her pathway that can minister and can witness and bring anointing for healing, but we speak it today also, and we thank you for these requests. We know that with us it's impossible, but with you all things are possible, God. And I just speak an anointing and a blessing to flow over this precious sister right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for bringing her here today. Amen. Amen. Okay. Cheryl. I love you.
I love you too.
I do. I love you. Last summer, I just looked over there at you and your husband, and I just can't explain it. I don't know. I just felt a connection. She's the best hugger. Come on. Whoa. Thank you, God. Father, I lift this precious one up right now in the name of Jesus, and you know all about her. You know all about her. We're not going to even call them problems. We're just going to call them issues or situations that happen in her life and in the lives of her family. And Father, we know that you have it all under control because we give it to you. And so I ask you right now, Cheryl, to just in your mind, you know, this, you know, God gave us imagination for a reason. And I want you to just imagine that you're wrapping all of that up. And I've done this before and it works. Imagine you're wrapping up all your problems, everything that isn't going right, all this stuff into a trash bag. You're going to tie a big red ribbon around it and place it at the feet of Jesus. And then you walk out of there and shut the door. You shut the door. Cheryl. Ila bahastan yororo kosan yara kayara bohoshe. Ila kayara bohoshe. I rebuke the spirit of Antichrist that tries to torment you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke him. He has no place in your head in the name of Jesus. And Father, as he is gone, we ask that to be refilled with just joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace and comfort and rest to flow down through my precious sister, flow down through her mind, through her heart, and even through her body. Through her body, let your healing power flow down through her body right now in Jesus' name. And she's going to know that she's been in your presence because she's going to see results from today, from making the sacrifice to come and to work. And I thank you, God, that you honor that. We just honor you today, God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Ooh, I gotta sit down. Was there one more? Imbrambada Hasai. Postaranyara Bahaya Bahoshe. Whew.
Amen. I want to say this. That's fine. You know, it's hard to say when you just feel like the Holy Spirit's just touched on anything. I mean, he's just touched on things that, you know, the Spirit of God is the one that reveals the secret things. And she'll say things not knowing anything, and yet you'll think, she's reading my mail. She must have heard my prayer, heard my cry, or can read my thoughts or something. But that's the Holy Ghost at work. And that's why we came today. You know, that's why we come here, not just to have our usual thing, but to really say, okay, God, I'm laying it all out on the line today. I'm really opening up to you today. We're going to do something that I forgot to do earlier, but that's okay. We're going to take up an offering. And, Jerry, you know that situation that we are going to minister to? Do you know where that is? And while we're waiting to have a prayer for lunch, we can present that.
Oh, do I know where it is?
Yeah, you want to go get
it?
Could you go get it? Okay, we're going to, you know, I want God to bless Clifton and Jerry. And the registration fee just helps take care of the needs, you know, gas and food and, you know, things like that we need for the meeting. And but I want them to be super blessed. And I just offer this up now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. All we can do is say thank you for your ministry. Thank you for them being obedient to come. Lord, we have a powerful word, and we're not just going to sit on this word today. Thank you for the people who give and for blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I thought of that song. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Do it again. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Wow, wow. We're going to take care of, Jerry's going to get some. We got one more thing, but has anybody got a testimony? Monica? Yeah. Anybody else got a testimony? A share, a praise. Has God, something supernatural touched you today that you can share? Well, you know, I'm believing that by tomorrow night, we're all going to be seeing some things that we believe in God for. And I'm just waiting for that other thing. And Pastor, you got any instructions for us? I tell you what, these men have been out there working. I mean, they have been out there. We got some good food, but they've been working hard.
I feel the Spirit all in this place. For the battle is raging all around God's children. But I see Jesus all in this place. We need to stand up and shout for Jesus, and not ashamed of our blessed Savior. Just live.
down. He'll be your bed.